Hello and welcome to episode 4 of The Two Tones. It's the Carlton Podcast with Tony Moclair, Tony DeBolfo, and I'm going to deputise him today, Tone, as an honorary Tone. He's a man who needs no introduction because I haven't written one. You've seen him on TV, heard him on radio. He is Sam Tony Peng.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony Moclair and Tony DeBolfo. It is an absolute privilege to be in the same studio with you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Your mic's on, mate. Just do something.
It's lovely to see you, Sam.
It's good.
Thank you for coming along. And we're in hallowed company, I suspect.
You're getting used to that sort of level of professionalism. Wow. Couldn't be bothered writing an intro. Name one of the television.
Eurovision telecast. Oh, yeah, there we go. That'd be one.
Once a year.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one.
Have you been paying attention? That would be another TV show that you do through the Working Dog Company, which screens on Channel 10.
Look at you. You're still dirty that you can't get on that show.
Oh, you're filthy. Filthy ass, yeah. Because that's where the money is, working for Working Dog. What else? Triple R Breakfast Show, former host.
What is this? This is your life?
Yeah, it is. We got Don Rickles standing outside the studio. He's about to come in with a ham.
Tony, he's talking about things that have happened 10 years ago.
Well, okay. Well, no. Your TV show with Working Dog is contemporary, is it not?
Yeah. Actually, a lot of the... I've been doing a thing for the website called Driving with Sam Pang.
I was about to get there.
And Bryce Gibbs and Mark Murphy, they watch that show. They want to come to a show.
Of course they do. Of course they do. They want to come and see you do your thing.
But anyway, it's nice that they're interested and aware of the show. It's great to be here.
Now, tell us your web series, which is brought to us by Hyundai.
I can't say it either.
I can't either. Don't worry. If you were to ask me if the president of this football club was driving in the main sponsor, a product by the main sponsor of this club, I could not pronounce it correctly.
You wouldn't get his name right or the car.
Do you want to have a go at it, Sam?
I'd say Mark LaJudice.
Yes.
With the car. I know I do this series. I think it's Hyundai.
Tony DeBolfo, do you want to have a go?
I'm... pitchy for Hyundai.
Hyundai?
Hyundai?
Hyundai! Right. Thank you! I got it! You beauty!
Trust me, everyone, that we were not mucking around.
No, we really
weren't.
So
what is it officially?
Hyundai. No?
Hyundai. Hyundai.
There we go. Okay, got it.
Anyway, it's called Driving with Sam Pang.
Yes.
It's a beautiful car. And these players, past and present, Tony DB, they drive me around and we have a chat. And it's just, last year was magnificent. There was Juddy.
Juddy's was magnificent. You talked about the Sopranos. A lot of your talk was about that. And his love of fine whiskey, which was revealed in another great thing on the Carlton website, the man cave that was explored with Juddy. I've interrupted you.
No. Sam. I saw that in the man cave. That was interesting. Bigger than my house. I like that. It's always nice. I don't know why, if I had the life that Juddy have, that I'd be doing too much time down there. I'd be out and about, you know, enjoying myself. But he's like downstairs in a panic room. I don't understand why he's doing that. And last year there were some greats like the Dominator and Alex Marcou and Sellers and Bazusto and Hunter in the same one. And
that's right, because you went over to Perth and did those?
No. I can announce that coming up this year.
Yeah.
The first ones on the website was with Bryce Gibbs, and it was a great chat. And we've got some ones coming up where I do go over to Perth, and I talk to John Dorotich, Earl Spalding, and a man and a player very close to my heart, Steve Darui.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Tone? Great cheese. You did well to get him, Sam. He's been laying fairly low in Perth these days.
But, really?
Although Dora, to his credit, was front and centre, I think, in the post-match room conference afterwards. It was good to see him. He looked svelte. He looked well. He was quite...
quite relieved he hadn't been playing that night.
He would have been handy to forward, actually.
Yes, they all look great. Though, actually, Earl, not as fit as the other two, but Doris still looks pretty good. And Steve Darui. Well, Steve Darui, just for me, was like... He was just an important player. I know he played like 55 games for Carlton. But I just remember him being our only matchup for Darren Mullane.
Yeah,
whenever we played Collingwood, you know, physically and
temperamentally? And
Probably. Yeah, okay. He was the only one that I felt confident that if they played on it, you know, because Mullane was so great, hard to match up on because he was fast. And then I thought Steve DeRui... Anyway, so
hard
I got...
Nut.
Yes, a hard nut.
Yep.
The chat with Steve DeRui, boys, was magnificent for me, and hopefully everyone gets to enjoy it. One thing I didn't get to ask him about, which I only found out later when I got home and my brother had said, told me that... I told him that I'd been to Perth and seen Steve DeRui. He said, did you ask him about the time that he knocked over a police horse? And I'm thinking, what? What are you talking... Straight away, I'm thinking, gee, that's a pretty bad miss.
Yeah.
The guy's got a story about knocking over a police horse. Yeah. But my brother swears on this, and I should just ring Steve DeRui to confirm it. But
if Tony DeBolfo can't confirm it, then it probably didn't happen. But anyway, keep going.
No, you're right, Tony. Why would I bother going to DeRui? And when Tony DeBolfo's here...
Don't bring up the horse's head. But go on.
That's true. Especially here at Carlton. But my brother swears that after a game... In the old days, when the siren went and, the supporters stormed the ground and there's just madness and there's policemen and the players are running off and everything. He reckons that there was a police horse, obviously, a policeman on a police horse, that hit Steve DeRui and the horse went down. So I should just, like you said to Tony, he was a tough nut.
Tough nut. I don't wish to digress, Tony, but... And Sam, but I do have a story relating to a police horse that happened here also, involving a one-game player for Carlton, Peter Bevilacqua, whose only claim to fame is he's the only Italian-born league footballer in the history of the game. Played one game, and it wasn't even here, it was at Arden Street in the 1950s. But he grew up, spent his early years in, I think it was Barry Street, Carlton, and when they used to open the gates up, just before three-quarter time, let the people in and see the last quarter for nothing. He used to walk in from Garden Street and stand at the race where the police horse, man and policeman, perched himself. And over time, through the 40s, young Peter and the policeman struck up a bit of a rapport. And three-quarter time one day, the policeman said to Peter, "Son, do you want to follow me out to the Carlton huddle?" And he said, "Absolutely." Officer, and out he went, and he said, "As a kid, I stood there, and I heard Percy Bentley deliver the three-quarter time address to the Carlton players. Never forgot it." Great story.
Isn't that beautiful?
There's a good story, probably not as good as yours, but not a bad one.
No, but the horse was okay at the end of that story, so no animals were harmed in the retelling of that anecdote, or in the anecdote itself. Thank God. Now, Sam, of course, the big news, apart from the fact that you are just kicking goals online, talking to great players, past, present and future,
we hope. If someone says, "Oh, gee, you're really just kicking goals," they really have no idea of what they're talking about, Tone. They've got no plan. They can't reference anything specific. It's like you just turned into James Brayshaw. The great man's rolled in. He's kicking goals at the moment. I tell you what... Oh, how do we track him down? You've got no idea what you're doing over there. What is your question, Tone?
My question to you is...
love. I love you.
I know that. I feel that funny, all the time. Yeah.
And I think I consider you a friend.
Yeah, true.
But, mate.
Yeah.
Fire up. I'm walking.
Sam has had dinner at my house, Tone, and do you know what? He's never extended the return invitation.
Is that so?
Mm. Yeah, can you believe that?
Oh, well.
And I'm sure he's an excellent cook.
Did you see that? He can believe it. Tone DeBolfo absolutely defended me there by saying, "No, I don't necessarily think I'd be inviting you."
No, I'm trying to change topics.
I don't want you to know where I live.
Okay, all right. Now here, what we're going to do now, I want to get your opinion, Sam Pang, that we are currently flying at the moment straight towards Mount Rebuild here at the Carlton Football Club. It's been declared by the Prez.
Yes.
How did you take that statement from on high? How did you process it? What does it mean to you?
Well, to be serious, it's interesting because unlike many in the football world, I wasn't necessarily ready to write the whole season off. Just simply for the mathematics, or just two games. We actually have won as many games as Port. Mm-hmm. And are sitting above Geelong on the ladder. I just want that acknowledged. So I think that things can turn around very quickly. But in terms of what the president had to say, I think that the general feel seems to be it's a good thing. It's like that there's some transparency, or there's a message and a clear message. And I think that's good if that's what you're looking for. And the other thing is that I think that... the fact that he came out and had the announcement about our coach, just definitely being here for at least this year, which is great, because it just stops, you know, people asking the same stupid question week after week about who's Mick going. And, you know, I don't think it's... Yeah, I think that was a great thing that he did.
There won't be a kind of Game of Thrones type red wedding spill in the boardroom anytime soon against Mick, will there? No. I mean, it's like working with the Commonwealth Public Service now. He can't be sacked. He can do whatever he wants. He can call in sick on game day and it will have no impact whatsoever.
Well, I think what Sam has said, Tony's pretty spot on actually, because, look, there's no quick fix. I think, you know, we understand that. But I think what the problem was, there was too much of an ambiguity about where Carlton was actually at. So the fact the president has come out, the CEO has mapped out to the members the grand plan for, you know, the future of the club and where it's heading. So I think that it's good that members now understand, you know, where the club is at and where it's heading. In saying that, okay, we're on the rebuild, you know, as you said moments ago. But it still doesn't excuse, you know, insipid performances that we've seen in six of the eight quarters in which we've competed so far. So regardless of all that big picture stuff, all you want to see this week is blokes actually have a go for four quarters. Mm. And I don't think that's too much to ask. That's got nothing to do with ability. That's got everything to do with application. If the boys apply themselves, well, members and supporters will be happy because they can see that fellas have had a fair dinkum crack.
Tony Moakley, considering some of the intros you've given me today, you should be very careful about questioning anyone's work ethic. A couple of things. One is, I can't believe our NAB Cup form didn't hold up. That was a surprise to me. The other thing I wanted to say was, you know, it'd be interesting.
Right.
And I know I may be accused of being deluded, but imagine if we just won the next four.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is we're rebuilding and this and this and this, but what if we're just 4-2 in 4 weeks' time?
What if we start building? Not rebuilding, but building towards finals.
I don't think it can be real. I think it's interesting that in the back of two games, this is what's happening.
Can I run this by you two? And this is what I don't understand. We saw a rate of effort at the end of last year that was outstanding, the second half of the season. That effort was there. The results didn't go our way, but there was fair dinkum and unquestionable effort put in. At the end of the season, I thought, well, okay, there's Juddy commits to another round. He, you know, commits to going round again. He did that for a reason because he saw, and he made the statement clear that he saw potential there. He saw that the team were giving it a crack. How has that evaporated over the course of a summer? I don't understand.
I wish I had the answer, Tony, and I'm sure Mark Murphy would wish he had the answer too. He was front and centre this week, taking a fair bit of the heat, you know, that's come the team's way. But, you know, he made it pretty clear that, look, you know, blokes have just got to stand up and be counted, and all those cliches, you know how it is. But I don't know. I can't give you a definitive answer as to why it's suddenly happened. It's if you look at the last two games, both times we've started off well, which means we've been prepared well and ready to go, but for some reason we seem to peter out, particularly when the opposition gets its game in order. So why that is, I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that. But as you say, Sam, we're two games in.
And,
you know, you'd like to think that it will change. It will change. Hopefully for the better. It won't get worse. And that maybe we'll see, you know, four-quarter performance this week. That's all anyone wants, I think. Just four-quarter showing from blokes, you know, having a red-hot crack for Carlton. So,
are you getting inside their heads somehow, Sam? They spend an hour with you in the car. You edit it down to, let's maybe 7 or 8 minutes of gold. But after that, are the players ever the same? I wonder. I wonder if there's...
Big surprise. I'll start with a couple of corrections. We drive for about 30, 35 minutes.
I was rounding up.
Not an hour. It's they're 10-minute episodes, not 7 or 8. Do you know what I mean?
You are being pernickety.
Seven or eight minutes, also known as one of your intros, right? So, no, I actually, to be honest, Tone, last year in season one of Driving with Sam Pang was a lot of older players.
Mm.
And this year so far, well, there's only been one episode, Bryce Gibbs, but I'm pretty sure that episode 2 with the great Jimmy Buckley will be online this weekend.
Can you give us a tease? Is there one particular little story, or maybe a story that didn't make the cut?
Yeah, one was, because exactly. Well, Jimmy was very generous with his time, and said we did drive around for a while. And yeah, I do have to. We have to try to somehow get it down to 10 minutes. I'm trying to think of my favourite Jimmy. Well, the famous story, Tony DeBolfo, of when he was playing out at Waverley, and Glenn James was the umpire. And they were playing against, must have been playing against North, because Crackers Keenan was the opponent. Mm. And I think Jimmy had somehow either the runner tell him, gave him a tip on a horse during the game, right? Of which Jimmy said, okay, yeah, just put 200 on it for me, right? Which Crackers heard that, said, what are you talking about? And Jimmy Buckley said, I got a tip on a horse. And Crackers said, can you put me down for 100? Right. And Crackers said, yeah. Jimmy said, yes, no problem. Then Glenn James... got in on the action, and he was down for 100. Later on in the game, I hope I'm telling this mildly correctly, the runner came back and told Jimmy that the horse had won.
Yeah.
So at 7-1 or whatever. So Crackers Keenan had won 700. I think Glenn James won 700. Later on in the game, Jimmy Buckley says, he said, I mistimed a tackle. Right, which basically means he punched someone.
Yeah.
And he said it was right in front of Glenn James. Mm. And he said I should have got about 7 weeks. But Glenn James, the play stopped, and I looked at Glenn and I said, Glenn, if you report me, you won't get your money.
Yeah.
So Glenn James just said, play on. So I think that's the sort of stuff that Jimmy Buckley is famous for.
There is a story, Sam, a Jimmy Buckley story, that he turned up to training midweek late... this particular occasion, and was once too often. So Wes Lofson, the match committee, called him in, and he'd been at a midweek race meeting up the bush somewhere, and it had got to the stage where Wes was at the end of his tether, and said to him in front of Park and all of them, "You realise, Jimmy, we're going to have to fine you." And Jimmy reached in, pulled out of about $10,000. Says, "How much do you want?" that was Jimmy.
Wow.
That was Jimmy.
Now, Dylan, we should point out, is an emergency this week. Was there much talk from Senior about Junior and comparisons thereof?
Yes, Jimmy. I did ask Jimmy Buckley about his son Dylan, and he was very very proud about the accomplishments of Dylan. He thinks he's going to be a great player, and it was interesting because Jimmy went all humble. He went all modest tone, which was a bit. I was a bit surprised at, and I had to. I kind of just, unlike you,
yeah.
I thought I'd just try to do a good interview.
Yeah,
and I said to Jimmy, I said, "Man, this is very unlike you. I don't really, I'm not used to this level of modesty from you, Jimmy. You're making yourself out to be a marginal player." And I think within about 30 seconds, he kind of had declared that he should have won the 82 Brownlow.
Yes. Well, he could have bought one with spare change in his pocket.
He did have an outstanding year in 82, though, Sam. Won the best and fairest in a premiership year. And Wayne Johnston, I remember him telling me that opposition players through 82 were fearful of manning up on Jim Buckley in that year. He was outstanding in that great, year, the second leg of the back-to-back premiership.
Team Oakley, right? Best and fairest in a premiership year.
Yes.
He might have come second or third in the Brownlow despite missing the last six games with glandular fever. So he did have a very good year.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you don't believe me, just ask Jimmy. He'll tell you how good a year he had. But Dylan, I'm excited about Dylan. I hope he has a good year.
Well, he's a former guest of the podcast. He's great talent in here. So occasionally we do get guests whose company we enjoy.
And you love the way he plays too.
Did you get his intro right?
Yeah.
Or did you just say, we've got one of the players who's just doing wonderful things at the moment. Just generic words that don't mean
anything. Oh, look who's here. I said, this kid is absolutely flying at the moment. He is on fire. I tell you, you throw a stick and you'll hit this kid because he is everywhere.
Go on. Tell everyone your name.
Son of a Carlton great, would you please welcome...
Well, don't let
Dylan,
me do it.
Dylan Buckley.
No, he's great. I can't wait till he's... and he's an emergency.
Mentioned this week.
That's great.
So a good little player. It sort of plays the game the way you want to see players play the game. Tacks it. Mm. A bit of verve and bubble, you know.
He's
and
got a bit of lip as well. He doesn't mind. He's pretty mouthy on the field.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's what you want, isn't it? You know, we could do ill to have, you know, less of his type running around for the team at the moment, Tone.
Well, just on that, we're going to preview the game. It's round three, Blues v Bombers, MCG, the Cauldron, the scene of some great games, obviously, between these two clubs. Most consecutive victories, 13, greatest margin, 102 points, high score, 27-13, 175. I don't think that'll be repeated on Saturday, but we live in hope. Tone, how do you think it's going to go?
Well, as I say, you know, the Carlton's been under the microscope for a period of time now, Tone. It's intensified, obviously, this week. So, you know, that will be the, you know, the interest in this game. How does Mark Murphy and the players react to the pressure that's, you know, been put, you know, from the public at large? So, look, you know, there's always been, you know, heat in these contests. Carlton Essendon, you know, there's no love lost, obviously. The Bombers are obviously buoyed by the result last week, getting over the line in the last second against Hawthorn. But, you know, our team, you just have to hope that they can find something for the contest. A big stage again, MCG. The eyes of the world watching. Let's just hope that they can find something and make a real contest of this and hopefully it's a four-quarter contest.
They've been playing with finals intensity, Sam. Can they keep it up? I mean, Essendon, I mean. Well, it's something you wouldn't accuse us of at the moment. But, I mean, can they keep that up? I mean, beating Hawthorn, obviously, was a great win.
Can I talk about Carlton by talking about Essendon?
Yeah.
I am so much more positive about our club and our team than many.
Mm.
Only because we've all been around the game for so long that we see things just change from week to week.
True, yeah.
As we know from the coverage, you know, the 168 hours of coverage, that something said on one Monday just looks ridiculous the following Monday.
Mm.
When halfway through Essendon's last quarter against Sydney in round one, Tone, when they're in the wet, I think Sydney kicked 8 or 9 goals. Mm. Things would have looked pretty bleak. You wouldn't have given them much chance against Hawthorn, and yet there they are with that wonderful victory last week. So I just think that if Carlton beat Essendon on Saturday, would it really be the biggest upset that we've ever seen?
No.
So that's why I these are things I'm just holding on to. But that's the way I see it. I visualize us at 5 o'clock walking out of the G victorious. But that's probably why I don't work in the AFL industry.
Well, if you are walking out of there with Carlton victorious at
work,
5.
That's amazing. That's showbiz. What you just did there.
That is what I did just then with showbiz. Because where will you be walking at final siren with the wind behind you, Sam Pang, as the We Are the Navy Blues rings out throughout the MCG?
You'll be strutting there.
Where will you be going?
That's one thing I hold on to. If we win this week, would it be the biggest upset you've ever seen in all your years watching football?
No. Good point, Sam Pang.
On Saturday after the game, the Carlton Social Club is back, and A Gathering of Blue is the name of the night. Well, the aftermatch, it's called. It's with Andy Lee, who's a sweet kid just coming up in the business, Tone.
Yeah, no, give him
Andy
a go.
Andy Lee from, you know, Hamish and Andy fame, and myself, and we're encouraging all Carlton members to come and hang out with us after the game. The players and the coaches will be there, and it's at the Melbourne Olympic Park Function Centre, which I think is just you walk across the bridge and then it's there.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
All right.
Doors open at 5. Hopefully the game's finished by then.
Yeah.
And it's free for members, $10 for non-members, and it's just going to be a... You know, we're just trying to get a little bit old school, but also in a week where the president has come out with an air of, you know, rejuvenation and rebirth, we're just starting something, you know, everything old is new again. In the old days, we used to all get together. It's like a place for everyone to get together after a game, win, lose or draw, and, you know, just a reminder that we're all in it together.
And it's memories of the J.J. Higgins Bar here, Tony, the Carlton Social Club downstairs. All the members used to go back there after your hard-earned win here, Tone. Mm. And Jimmy was a regular down there in the old days. Peter Dean was another one. He used to say to Peter Dean, what are you doing down here? Why do you come down here? He said, well, the members have put up their hard-earned. They deserve the opportunity to talk to the players. So it's great that the players and all the staff are going back there after the game Saturday. And fingers crossed, Sam and Tony, will see all the members and supporters coming back. And we'll be buoyed by the meritorious performance at the MCG. So hopefully it's a win. And let's, you know, celebrate accordingly.
What do we expect, Sam, on the evening? It's an evening with Sam and Andy.
Look at you just enjoying yourself all of a sudden over there.
No, I'm just...
Will you be there, Tom?
Well, I may not be. I may not be there. So
otherwise
can you,
engaged.
Yeah, otherwise engaged, exactly. So can,
what? I have
extracurricular activities. But if you... Look...
I'll just be out of it. Tom's doing a student film.
Yeah.
He's not a student, and he's not an actor. No, and somehow he's in. And that's
I'm holding the mic. Yeah, that's the level of my.
No, it's a good question. It's a good question, Tony. First one for the podcast.
Yeah,
Andy and I will be kind of hosting the post match. So whatever that means, you know what I mean? Like we'll be there to welcome you, and we'll be doing some stuff on stage. Just enjoying everyone's company and welcoming members and non-members, but Carlton people. Then the players and the coach will be up on stage at some stage during the night. There'll be a list of like activities, just things that Andy and I will be doing, and hopefully, like I said, it's just an excuse to get everyone together, and with the idea that you know, football clubs win, lose or draw, they're supposed to be about people.
So yeah,
that's what it's about, mate.
Okay.
So just a bit answer of... to that is I've got no idea what we're going to be doing. Yeah. No idea. I'll probably sing a couple of songs.
Yeah.
Great. A couple of numbers.
Beautiful.
Well, if this appearance at this podcast is similar to anything, Sam, it should be the merit and the value of preparation. All right. So, now, can we just, speaking of preparation, Tony, I want to go over, because there is such a history between Carlton and Essendon, and I've got to phrase this delicately. I do tend to think differently of players who leave here and go there. I don't know why. It's the only club. It's because there is a peculiar brand of animus, if you want to say that, between the two clubs that maybe doesn't exist with Collingwood, doesn't exist with Richmond, but definitely does exist with Essendon. Players, let's go through a list of players that have played for both Essendon and Carlton. And I want to give me your thoughts and any anecdotes either of you might have on them. Brian Walsh.
Brian Walsh was one of the many great players out of the Bendigo League, Carlton's famous rural nursery through the, you know, the 70s. Ruck Rover, you know, on-ball player. Nice player, neat little player. Was probably a little bit stiff not to make the cut in 72, but again was a player of that great era of Bendigo recruits, you know, the Trevor Keogh's, the Southbys of this world, all those great players that came down to Carlton at that time, and was a good player for Carlton in his own right.
Peter Francis?
Well, Peter Francis, we've mentioned Peter Francis on this program before, Sam, was probably the player that could have put his hand up for the 79 Norm Smith medal, was a great player in that premiership victory over Collingwood, played in a wing and was unfortunately traded to Fitzroy for Frank Marchesani. We definitely fared worse from that one.
And I think the jury's still out on that trade. You say he was... I thought that... my story was that the Dominator was voted as Carlton's best player for that 79 team. I know that Wayne Harms won the Norm Smith, but in-house, I thought that Jono was our best player.
Jono was probably stiff not to win three Norm Smiths when you look at it, Sam. In truth, for the, you know, the consummate finals performer, and yes, he was a very good performer for Carlton in 79. But Peter Francis, if you look back on that video, played on a wing that particular day, probably relished the fact that on a wet deck, the wing was probably the one area of the ground that held up all right, and he was a good mover, good running player, and he's coaching now, I think, in the down down Gippsland way, has coached junior football for some time and a well-respected coaching figure and still pops back to the club reasonably regularly. Still has a soft spot for the Blues, although he did go, you know, to Essendon, Richmond and Fitzroy as well. So, but a nice player for Carlton, you know, good moving wingman, fleet of foot player, number 47, I think, from memory.
From 47 to 44, Harry Madden. I mean, what can you say about him?
Harry Madden. Well, Sam, you should talk about Harry because you've had the privilege of playing pillion passenger to the great man in
That's
the
right,
car.
Was he in government then or
he
not?
He was, Tone. He did an episode of Driving With last year.
Yeah.
And from memory, he really only had 25, 30 minutes because as a sitting member of parliament,
yeah.
He had some ribbon. He genuinely had yeah. some, you know, somewhere to be. You know, some opening.
And so, well, as he was interviewing, was there somebody in the back seat doing hands up? Just yes or no?
That was a nice surprise. It was a pleasant surprise because he was one of the first episodes I did last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, he didn't quite know what it was. And then once he was in there, I said, yeah, we're just driving around talking yeah. about anything. So he had some great stories. He kicked five on debut for
yes,
us at times.
Yes,
wow. And then, in his words, never did it again. But, I think everyone would have fond memories of Justin Madden.
Oh, he was in at the club this week, Tony. He made a cameo, I think, on Tuesday. And his brother rather rudely suggested that he'd gone now from politician and was back actually earning a living. When he came in on Tuesday, he handed me his card and he said, if you know of, he's an architect by profession, he said, if you know of anyone that wants a bridge built, tell them to call me. So he's looking for work.
Well, he's not going to be building any Eastlink tunnels or anything like that anytime soon.
No.
Remember, he
wouldn't mind me saying this, but he's a big Eurovision fan.
Well, who wouldn't be? Is he a fan of you or Julia, though?
No.
Because
Julia and the song contest is what he always mentions.
Right.
Nothing about me being
right.
there.
Okay.
But no, he's a very big Eurovision fan.
How did he go in the car? He's a tall man. You know, did he struggle there?
Yeah, it didn't look that comfortable. As roomy as the car is.
Yeah, thank you. Legroom despair.
It was a little bit, I can't remember which police academy it was when Bubba Smith just tore out the front seat and sat in the back and reached forward and put it there. Just a giant.
And just on the subject, over the journey, have you actually had some, you know, degrees of apprehension sitting alongside any specific driver that might have given you a worry?
I haven't been fearful of anyone, Tone, because obviously they have agreed to be there. They know I'm coming. They see me in the jumper in the car. They know it. They're not surprised. But especially with the, you know, just, it's just, you know, the final episode last year was with Bruce Doole.
Mm.
And that was, you know, just a spoiler though, we don't even talk. We just drive around really. But I was just so, it was a bit surreal.
Yeah.
That was quite surreal in a way where I was very aware of Bruce Doole right there.
Yeah.
And we're just driving. And I think the week before, to have Bezusto and Hunter in the front and me just in the back, it was like, wow I'm 8 years old right now. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of the joys. You know, it's a great. I should thank everyone.
Sure. It's also mentioned the Ange Christou and Kuda episode.
Yeah,
Ange in the back.
Yep. Yeah. Ange and Kuda was a great way to start last year, and I'm so happy to be doing it again.
Now, we're just going to complete this list quickly of Carlton players who played for both because there are some big names here. We're just going to go through them very quickly. Glenn Manton, Justin Murphy, Matty Allen, Corey McGrath, Jordan Bannister and Scott Camporelli.
Yes.
What about the one you're leaving out, Tom?
Who?
Glenn Hawker.
Oh, God. Okay.
The Hawk.
That's not a joke. I was genuinely excited when we got him.
Yes. Yeah. Ruck Rover, you know, hard nut, hard at it.
I wasn't excited about three games in, but after that, you know, it was... We just got him at the. We got him at
the end.
Well, that tends to happen. You get Mick McGuire in that list, obviously not from Essendon, though. Scott Camporelli leaving was I remember that, but not fondly.
No, I mean had a stellar start to his career.
Yeah,
he came over, and you know Sam mentioned earlier, you know, talking about Jono probably being a tad unlucky not to win the Norm Smith. You might recall in '95 Camporelli's first year at Carlton.
Mm.
He was considered a hot favourite to win the I think it was the then Norwich Rising Star, and I think Nick Holland won it. It was a bit of an upset, but he had an outstanding year in 95 and was part of that all-conquering team grand final day.
I remember about Scott Camporeale, and it's probably showing my age. I remember back in the days when he was just called Scott Camporeale. You know, he was one of those, his name over time, they actually got around to just correcting everyone. And so by the end, we were saying it correctly.
Yes. It's like Christian Yarks, Sam. They call him Christian Jackson. He sort of goes with it, but to the letter of the law, it is Yarks.
Dan, I wish I knew who you were talking about. Is it a current day flyer? Yeah.
Yes, he is. Why did Chris Mainwaring never get Mannering? Anyway, that's just... I've got to crowbar in a gratuitous reference to Dad's Army here. Mr. Mannering. There we go. All right. We'll wind up that trip down memory lane. Now, we've mentioned, of course, Social Club that you can go and see at the Post Club event, Sam and Andy Lee. So look forward to doing that.
Yeah. I've said enough.
Now, one more bit of housekeeping. Tickets are now available for the Carlton faithful to sit at the Heatley end in the Blues' upcoming blockbusters against Essendon and Collingwood at the G. This happened at the Richmond game, which was very exciting. Did I get the right? I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. The Heatley end, a homage to the famous Robert Heatley stand at Princess Park Days, made its return to the Blues season opening against Richmond. Position next to the Carlton cheer squad at the Punt Road end. It is open to members and Carlton supporters, so get down there for that. Can we expect to see you at the Heatley end, Sam?
No, Tone. Unlike you, I go to games. So I'll actually...
Wow, that hurts. It's one. I said yes to this commitment a year ago, and it's come back to bite me spectacularly on the backside.
This beautiful man over there. He's a wonderful man, and he's just too... He takes it too easy on you. I mean, he lets you get away with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But really, people just have to point these things out to
him. Yeah.
You're not going to be at the game.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because, what else?
Well, you had no idea who I was.
Yeah,
for your intros.
Yeah.
Like, it's a shambles in here.
So, well, I need to...
Actually, I've heard that the president is thinking of rebuilding the podcast.
No, it's funny. Mick and I have been given jobs for the rest of the year, so I got nothing to worry about. So screw you, Sam Pang, whoever you are. Thank you for coming in.
Tony, thank you for having me. Tony DeBoffo.
Great to see you, Sam.
Great to see you.
Good fun.
This has been the Two Tones.
Did you want me to be more sincere in my farewell of you? I've already said how much I love you. What a great comedic performer you have been in the past.
And probably never will be again. Thank you, Sam Pang. Thank you, Tony DeRolfo. Catch you next week. And can I just end by reminding everybody of Sam's, I think, edifying note of optimism that you had, that yes, Carlton winning this week against Essendon would not be an upset, and it is the mindset we should have going into the game. Good on you, Sam.
Yeah, all right, you got it wrong. It would be an upset.
I don't know.
It wouldn't be the biggest upset in the history of the game, Tony.
All right, don't worry, we'll edit that bit out too. there'll be nothing but clunks of things hitting the floor of the editing suite
after this. Thank you for having me, Jim.
Been a pleasure, Sam. Thank you.